Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Tales from the Terror Dome. And I gotta be honest, this podcast started as Tales from the Transfer Portal during a very awful time in Virginia Tech history. And then, you know, it was rebranded Tales from the Terror Dome, like right around the inception of the new staff. And it's been a rough four seasons. Like, I have had to podcast about a lot of losses.
Too many.
I brought Pete B on here because, you know, he's a great podcaster. He's like OG Hokie podcaster. Too deep, been around for a decade. You know, and we align on a lot of things. Sometimes, you know, Pete tweets what we're all thinking. You know, sometimes I do, sometimes other people do. Sometimes you can find positives in things. This is not that. There really wasn't. Like, there was like four positives from the whole day yesterday. And, you know, I'm on a network now. I have some pretty cool partnerships. I try to watch what I say sometimes, but with that said, I really just have one question about yesterday, and it's, are you fucking kidding me? Like, tale of two halves, man. Like, tailgate always undefeated. There, you know, first half, we played with nuts. Like, they were letting them hang. Like, there was aggression. They were physical. They were moving the ball. And in the second half, they folded, dude. Like, as soon as it got tough, as soon as Johnny Garrett went down at the end of the first half, dude, it was over. And they just got, dude, we got ran through like we were Bonnie Blue, dude. Like, I really cannot just get over how, like, yeah, I'm mad. Like, everyone should be mad. I haven't seen one person on the internet today that wasn't pissed off. Like, it's just, it's inexcusable, just flat out inexcusable. PP, how you doing, man?
I'm good. You ready to start the show? No, I'm just kidding. that was a great intro, Dan. Just get right into it.
Man, you can't cut it, dude. You can't sugarcoat that.
You can't.
There's no way.
It hurts, dude. I took a couple of different phone calls late last night, early this morning. I know you were down for the game, but a lot of people were down for the game that we know. And I feel bad for all of them that went and either spent their hard-earned money or trying to meet up with family and have a nice night, and it turns into that. Like, I'm sure the day was fun, and at least it was a night game, so you got the whole day to at least enjoy yourself. But damn, that second half, dude, we got outgained 307-21 in the second half, 34 points for Vanderbilt, zero for Tech, no resistance on D, couldn't do a damn thing on O. It was one of the ugliest 30 minutes of football I've ever witnessed with my eyes.
Yeah, it's absolutely 34 unanswered points at home at night. Like, are you, like, really? Like, it just...
Ever happened at Tech. I don't think there's ever been a half where we had 34 unanswered points scored on us.
They didn't punt one time.
How does that... I don't think that's... Like, that another thing that I don't think's ever happened before. Like, it's crazy. And the quickness with which it happened. Like, we come out in the second half. We got a 10-point lead. Vandy scores quick. Okay. They're fired up, whatever. We have the ball, and it's fourth and one on our 34-yard line, and we decided to punt. And it was a short one, right? It felt like one of those situations where you kind of got to do this, or you might lose your grip on this one. And yeah, boy, did we lose that grip.
It's one of those ones that you can live with the result.
Yes. Yes, you can. And I would have liked to see what that result was. We got a big, strong quarterback. He had was running for like 8.5 yards a carry to that point in the game. And you don't go for it on 4th and 1? When you can feel it slipping? When all the fans could feel it slipping? When we punted that football, did you and your buddies or whoever you're with say like, I think that's the game right there? Because I got like 5 texts like that.
Yeah, Steven uttered the words white flag, which I understand. Like, for context, when I say tale of two halves, like, Kyren Drones in the first half had over 80 yards rushing. He finished total yards rushing on stat sheet at like 12. Like, he was getting teed off on.
And he was.
Like, it was such a good day. Like, the weather held off. Like, the temperature was nice. Had a good lunch at PK's. You know, the wings were fresh and crispy. And Rally House was amazing. If you're in Blacksburg, dude, I absolutely recommend. Like,
I want
to
check that out.
You need to go twice. The first time to be in awe and the second time to actually figure out what you're buying. Because there's so much. Like, there's walls dedicated to Nike Tech thing, script, non-script, like,
you know what, Dan?
It's just crazy.
They're probably going to have a lot of that merchandise this season left over.
Yeah. And then another positive, like, selfishly, we've been tailgating, and I went on top of Chicken Hill by where the band practices. That's where the porta potties are. And I, you know, I had to break the seal. And when I came out, there was a dude standing to the left in a Tales from the Terradome shirt. And I was like, all right. I said, hey, man, I like that shirt. And he was like, thanks, man. I like it because it's different. And he had no idea, like none. And that actually, I didn't say anything. I just left it at that. And that's actually, to me, that's more impressive that he was on SWVA shop. Shout out those guys. And, you know, he saw the shirt and thought it was cool enough without having any idea who I was or like
that's
what
funny,
it was.
Dude.
And
that is really
it.
Funny.
So I did my job on that one. But, yeah, it was – I saw a couple of those shirts yesterday, and that was, like, the first time I had really seen them. Other people that weren't my friends wearing them or whatever, so, like, I know people have bought them, but I hadn't caught it, like, in the wild. So it was – and then, you know, you walk in and you get some more beers, and you're letting them flow, and the turkey legs are fresh. And
you're winning?
We're winning. Like, they – like. It was the complete opposite of Vanderbilt last year.
It was 10-0 Tech. Then it was 20-10 at the half. And they had made some mistakes. Like, they were playing sloppy. And that really didn't change. I mean, even the drive where they went down the field after the punt, I think, they had like 3 penalties for 20 yards. They still went right down the field. Like, there was nothing stopping them. And yeah, but it was totally like first half was one game, second half was another game.
The play that sticks in my head the most is when we were down on like the 15 and Kyren had like 5 seconds to hit he had all day to hit the dude at the goalpost or at the pylon, and it took him like 5 extra seconds to commit to it, and then it ended up being an incompletion even though they called it a completion.
Yep.
But it could have been a touchdown. And then the Aiden Green one-handed snag, he was wide-ass open. They could have just hit him in the numbers. And, like, dude, like, I love Kyren, like, as a person. Like, but, man, we can't keep dirt and balls, dude. Like, we can't keep Russell Wilson and these things out here. Like, you got to complete them. You know what I mean? Like,
there were so many things that went into the quarterback on the game. Like, first of all, we knew Johnny Garrett went down. You talked about it already.
I didn't know that.
Made the line, you know, they move Remack over, you know, they're trying to do a patchwork situation, and it didn't really work, obviously. They were bringing so much pressure from their linebackers. We couldn't pick up blitzes. But what frustrates me is that early in the game, it was pretty clear they were trying to get Kyren in some kind of throwing rhythm early. They threw like 5 passes on the first drive, like short swing passes, trying to get uncomfortable, whatever. And it worked. You know, we went down the field. We got a field goal, I think, on that drive. And then we scored a touchdown a little bit later. And then we started running him. Once we realized, like, maybe the passing game's not working as well as we wanted to, we started running Kyren, like, you know, one read, like his decision, veer stuff, whatever it is. Got in the end zone. And then in the second half, when they're just teeing off, like you said, the game wasn't even out of hand yet, and they're just sacking us, hitting us, whatever. And they didn't change anything they were doing. He's just backing up, standing there like a potato, and getting crushed. Backing up, getting crushed. And it's like, what am I watching here? Like, is no one on the offense deciding to, like, roll, like, do something else? Like,
right.
Like, do an option play, anything. So we're not just, like, taking sacks over and over again.
No hot routes, no blitz beaters, nothing.
Right. It was insane, dude. It was like, oh, let's just try this again. Let's back Kyren up and let him stand there. And his body language was really bad, which maybe mine would be too. But, dude, watching him kind of like mope around the field, that it was really ugly, dude. That was ugly.
Yeah, and like all the people on the internet that have been like, Johnny Garrett's not that good. Like, apparently he's all world because that offensive line was night and day without him. Like, I know, like, he's still learning. Like, doesn't have that much experience, but like, it was a very noticeable difference when he went down. And even like Matt Moore in press conferences had said, we're not very deep at offensive line. And guess he was not lying.
No, he wasn't.
Because,
and this was a bad team for that to happen against, because I know,
yeah,
you can say whatever you want about Vanderbilt. Clark Lee gave up the play calling duties. He was calling them last year, but he's a good defensive mind. And they have so much experience on that defense. Not all of it's the best talent in the world, but they got so much experience. They know exactly what system they're running. And they were going to bring exotic pressures. And like, we had no answer. Monty had no answer. The offensive line looked like, you know, deer in headlights. And it just got worse and worse.
Yeah, man, like, and you could, like, I will say, like, Terrion Stewart, he's very limited. Like, he was on a pitch count, but I thought the glimpses we got of him were pretty good. I thought, you know, but at the end of the day, like, you still can't run the ball. Like, Kyren shouldn't be your leading rusher.
He was our leading rusher despite all those losses you talked about. He had 36 yards net.
Oh.
39 loss. So it was 75 total minus 39. He ended with 36. But our other leading rusher was Hawkins with 29. He had 8 carries and Stewart had 3. Like, we ran for 114 yards total in the game. I know you're subtracting out the sacks, but like, even if you add the sacks, it's 150 yards.
Right.
You should be able to run for more than 150 yards on Vanderbilt.
Yes.
Or figure something out that you can get like rushing yards in some way, whether it's a quarterback, a jet sweep, something. You got to figure it out. And that's what maybe is even more disappointing, is that this was the same defense as last year. Like, we know what they're going to try to do for the most part. It can be tricky, but like, you know what you're going to do. We got this experienced offensive coordinator now. Like, we can't blame it on Bowen now. And that was hideous, dude. That was really hideous. And I even had a problem with the way they were doing the first half, even when we had the lead. Like, it was so clear we needed to run Kyren if we were going to win the game. So clear. And we did not do it enough. I know, like, what did he have? 13. How many sacks did he have? 4? 5? I don't know. But, like, so that's what? 8 true rushes? Maybe 7 true rushes? That's not enough, man. Like, he's not a thrower. Like, he's just not.
Yeah. And another thing that was shocking to me was how, like, the way we look versus South Carolina was night and day versus how we look against, on paper, or like, even, I don't know, seemingly a lesser team talent-wise in Vanderbilt. They definitely don't have the blue chips that South Carolina has. And we weren't trying, like, we threw a lot of tight balls against South Carolina. There was a lot of, you know, go up and get it, like, press man passes, like, that we made plays on, and we didn't have any sort of that testicular fortitude on offense in this one. Like, it was like, I feel like it was after halftime, it was just, or even like towards the end of the half, it was just way more passive than anything. And
it was,
they just started punching us.
And I also think we didn't even really see what the plan was for a lot of those plays because it never got a chance. The one that really stuck out to me when I was like, oh, this is really done. Kyren, it was second half. Kyren kind of rolls out to the right and he fires this pass. And I mean, it hit a jumping defender like here. Like the defender's like this, and he just like pelted the guy with it. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like firing a ball directly into a defender. Like you could see him coming a mile away. Like, and it was just like, I don't think he gets it. Like, I think I was worried about like where his mind was at that moment. And it became even more clear. Like, you got to get this kid out of the game. His mind is, it's like when you start losing points in tennis and you can see the person's just like, oh, they're cooked. Like, that's what it felt like.
Yeah. When they started just running like 10 to 15 yard gashes, I looked at Steven. I said, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's over.
Because that's supposed to be our worse. Strength.
Yeah. It got worse. And they said, you know, Gilliam got up after the game and was like, he was like, I didn't come to Blacksburg to lose. He was like, there's a lot of football left. Y'all need to go home. Everybody need to go home and look in the mirror. And if this ain't for you, like, you're not down to do whatever it takes, like, don't come back. And I was just like, I mean, it sounds good. Like, how many players? We have two player meetings in back-to-back weeks. Like, that's not good. And then, like, also, we weren't getting any – like, Pavia's jersey was clean.
So, oh,
like,
we had
– we weren't getting – we weren't getting real pressure. And it was just – like, we had everybody everybody failed yesterday. Everyone.
Well, did you also notice when they were really, like, bum-rushing us in the second half, there – it wasn't Gilliam and Copeland always out there. Like, we were playing Heisman. We're rotating our guys, and I get it. You got to rotate. But it felt like, to me, I wanted to see more of our best guys for more plays.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that might have been hard to pick up from the stands, too. But you don't sack Pavia very much. He didn't take a lot of sacks last year. That's based on the design. That's based on his skill set of their offense and all that kind of stuff. But I expected more than what we got. I expected more blowups through the middle of their offensive line. Their offensive line isn't that great. You know, like, it's not full of five-star dudes. They portaled like four new guys for that O-line. Mm-hmm. And I felt like Gilliam and Copeland and company should have been able to kind of bust that thing in the middle and break the play. And you just didn't really see that at all in the second half, and not even enough in the first half.
No, and the DBs were food. Outside of that interception, like, Caleb Brown was burnt toast. Like, Dante was bad. Like, Christian Williams was good. He scored at 80% on PFF. Thomas Williams was like a 60-something. But, like, dude, that's one whole side of the field that's just getting cooked. And, I mean, there was one play where they gave him the first down, but it was like blatantly offense. Like, he pushed off on the DB, and they didn't call it. But like, the touchdown.
And then he made a
like,
good catch too after that.
Yeah.
And then the other touchdown. Guy in the end zone made a good catch. Exactly.
Yeah. Just awful. Like, it was just. And I was what are we doing?
Can we ask people to please stop doing the, no one wanted Mansoor Delane around. They ran. It's like, dude, we wanted Mansoor Delane around. We wanted him here. When he left, it was like, okay, he didn't play that great last year, which was valid.
Especially,
but like, let's not do the thing that Hokies fans wanted to get rid of Mansoor Delane. He wanted to leave.
Yeah. We thought he was going to the NFL. He ended up going to LSU.
Right. Like, come on, man. We would love to have him back.
The only person that we were like, okay, was Mose Phillips.
Right. And he's not even he's not even playing that much.
He wanted over $500,000, and rightfully so. We were like, nah. Yeah. But like, yeah, they're not playing that well. I think he's injured down there. But I mean, Braylon, I think Al Tuner is going to be really good at center. So Braylon at LSU, okay. But like, Xavier Chaplin would have been amazing to have.
I mean, of course. But those guys went out like, we're not spending like that.
And no, we're not paying over $1 million.
We're trying to do things on the cheap because we're in the ACC and we got some clowns running the department. And I'm not saying we should have kept those guys and paid up, but like, where we are in college football, based on the performance, based on what our athletic department has done over the past years, has put us in this position where we can't pay $2 million for a left tackle. That's just how it is.
It's like Jim Weaver and Whit Babcock never heard the term or the phrase, got to spend money to make money.
Right.
And instead, like Weaver couldn't spend money at that point on players, obviously, but the locker rooms just got done for like the first time in what, 22 years. Like,
and no, it was,
there were other things they could have done. Yeah. There were other things they could have done. And NIL's been around like Whit, like he was brought in and billed as like this fundraising AD, and obviously that's not the case.
I think here's the thing, man, and let's not make last night about money, because
it's not about money. You don't need money.
Last night is not about money. That second half quit, which it seemed to me, Dan, by my eye and by many many texts that I got, that the team and the program quit in that second half last night.
Absolutely. They folded. Like, it was insane. And you don't need money to beat Vanderbilt. You don't need money to really beat South Carolina in a game that we were in.
No.
But, like, it's just, like, it's insane. Because if you think about it, all the teams we used to beat were paying. Like, McDonald's bags were being dropped off.
We beat Nick Saban at the peak with LSU. Like, he maybe not quite at his peak, but he was really good. They were a ranked team, and we beat him.
I miss those days where you knew, like, you're like, they steamrolled LSU. Like, they, like, you know, I know it's different now, but still, like,
I think there's,
they didn't have to fall off like that.
I think the portal era, taking all these players. I mean, this is the most transfers Texas ever had. And 30 transfers in any year is a lot for a lot of schools. I mean, yes, we've seen Deion go harder there. We've seen some other schools go harder in that department. But 30 is a lot. 30 is up there. It's one of the higher numbers in the country. Probably a top 10 number, maybe a top 15 number in terms of total transfers taken from Virginia Tech. And when you do that, Dan, your players don't know each other all that well. They had to do those brotherhood things to try to get to know each other and make sure the team's close. Price says the team's close. But then when the chips were down and Pavi is running down your ass, how did it look? Did they look like they were playing for each other?
Nah,
it didn't look like they were playing for each other for me.
Nobody picked their brother up yesterday.
So like, that's the risk you run. That is the risk you run when you tread in those waters. And you take 30 new dudes and 5 new coaches. We were all hopeful that this would work, that the changes to the staff, most importantly, Ferg, the OC, the DC, Matt Moore, that would improve the team. And it may, but it may be too late. Like, it might have been too much change too soon to win these games. And it clearly was. But maybe if there was no changes, we would have lost these games anyway. I'm just saying, it was a lot to do. We were all hopeful that it would work quickly. It didn't. It didn't work. Like, it didn't work quick enough.
Yeah. And, like, I want to be wrong about some things. Like, but, like, if Pop's not in by, like, the fourth quarter against ODU and, like, the second half of Wofford, like midway through the third quarter, just to be safe, like, you probably got to make some positional changes on the depth chart. Like, we should really, like, especially after these two losses, like, you should come out and just want to shellack those other two schools, not to mention one's a step down and one's like two or three steps down from the talent that we're supposed to have. Like,
Tell me you're not terrified of next week.
At this point, like, you're either going to win or you're going to get fired. So, like, which one?
I mean, that should have been. I mean, what was your thought on, you know, after the other night, after last night, you wake up Monday morning, are you expecting Pryor to be fired, or do you think that would be warranted? Like, where's your head at?
No, I never thought that he was going to get fired. I thought you would have to. Whit would have to be relieved or forced to resign before they did that. But, like, still, like, I just expect, like, a win would have been great. I mean, September, like, you remember Green Day said, wake me up when September ends? We've had a rough Septembers. ODU, Rutgers twice, Marshall, yep. Vanderbilt twice, Purdue, like.
And the Miami debacle, that was September last year. Yeah. I mean, they're a good team, just, but it was still, like, a horrible game.
It's just, like, slow starts kill everything.
It kills all the momentum for all the fun. Like, you know how I spent a lot of time talking about this team over the summer. Mm-hmm. You took a little bit more of a hiatus than you normally do, but you put out content all summer too. And it's just painful, man. And we don't have any control over what happens with the games. And we know that. So you're at the mercy of the team being good or bad or whatever. But, like, do we have to lose first game out? Do we have to lose, you know, 2-2 every freaking year? Like, could we play Wofford week one? Just to give us a vibe that we're actually enjoying ourselves for a couple of weeks here. Like,
right.
I know people like playing these big games, these out-of-conference games. I'd rather go the Indiana route. I've been on record to say that. I would rather create some goodwill and keep fans engaged, because that's better for pocketbooks, that's better for morale, that's better for everybody in town of Blacksburg that's trying to make money off this team and, like, keep businesses afloat. Like, stop doing this shit. Two SEC teams to start off the year. I know one's Vanderbilt, and we got the best Vanderbilt team in, like, a decade, and that's unfortunate, but, like, you walked right into the Shane game. Like, was it winnable? Sure. But did you win it? No. And you haven't won any of these out-of-conference Power 5 games in nearly a decade. What's it, 7 years, 8 years? So stop doing it, because it doesn't turn out well for you. Until you have a competent coach and a competent program, stop doing it. It's so frustrating to just lose at the beginning of every goddamn season.
Yeah, and you could argue the Shane game, you knew it was coming, and we didn't win enough or spend enough to build the team up to the point where you could go into Atlanta and confidently beat them, because you could have done it if you would have won more previous years. Recruits would have came. You probably wouldn't have missed on some of them if you spent a little more. But we were still in it. It was just we didn't capitalize when we had the chances to land punches.
I think part of it is we hitched our wagon to the wrong quarterback.
It's a common theme, dude. We don't land punches anymore.
No, we don't. I mean, there was never a punch really thrown in that South Carolina game. Like, we really, like, the safety maybe, but that was like a jab. That was not a haymaker. Yeah. And
but I mean,
we don't have haymakers pass, at this point.
The deep pass that we caught, they got negated by the chop block. Like, they could have, or the interception, or being 1-for-14 in the red zone. Like, you could have,
or the Hawkins drop that could have gone for 50 yards.
Yeah, or scored any touchdowns,
or scored a touchdown. Yeah. And the thing is, Dan, I know Kyron Drones was a 4-star. Bowen went down and got him. I think a more competent staff recognizes that he's not a good quarterback a year ago or a year and a half ago or something. He's never, even when he was playing well in 2023, his advanced metrics were never that good. He's and you're like, oh, he's going to develop. He'll get better. And there was hope for that. But at some point or another, I think we all have to realize, like, this is not going to work. And we chose wrong. You can spent money on Kyron Drones. He's getting he's getting paid well. Not getting paid Darian Mensah money, but he's getting paid well. And that money spent on any other quarterback, not any, but a lot of other quarterbacks, we might be a lot better. We also could be worse. It's just such a finicky thing with this quarterback portal stuff. Like, if we had gone out, think about this, the shift in college football. If we go out and we decide to grab Diego Pavia, Tim Beck, and Jerry Kill 2 years ago, because they were at New Mexico State. Anybody could have had those guys if they wanted to pay money. And Clark Lee literally grabbed himself, like, a ready-made quarterback and staff, brought them in. And you saw Jerry Kill hands on knees right next to him. Like, Jerry Kill's practically coaching that goddamn team. Mm-hmm. And we could have had that in our building. We could have had some kind of helpful expert for Pride to refer to, and things could be completely different. But they didn't do that, because we got people at the helm that don't know what they're doing. They do not know how to run a program. And that goes for Pry. That goes for the guys directly under Pry. I'm not going to say names because it's people who really know who they are. It's the AD. It's everybody. But it has not worked. They don't have a clue. And when you get run over like this in the second half, it's a major – we already got red flags. But this is like – this is the nail in the coffin, man. Like it was so ugly.
Yeah, it really – last night was the first night where it felt over. Like, they could prove me wrong. Like, you could. But even still, like, you win these two, and then you go, if you happen to beat NC State, you got to stop CJ Bailey. The two games I've watched, their defense really looks like you could take advantage of some things, but you have to do it. And then Wake, like, you could be 4-2, but then the rest of the schedule gets, like, Cal has that amazing quarterback that's going to end up at Alabama or wherever else because there's no way they're going to keep him. And, like, it's just the state of college sports, so enjoy them for the year. They're just trying to keep their football program from being shut down. Like, man, it's still, like, five wins, it's going to feel gross. And it could have been.
If we don't go to a bowl, man, like, I mean, what does it matter? We all think, like, effectively Pry's tenure is over. I think most people... Unless he does something crazy, like he would have to win 8 out of the next 10 games,
yeah,
or more, for people to be like, oh, okay, well, maybe. But like, if he beats up on a lot of shitty ACC teams, Wofford and ODU, to win 7 games after what we just saw, after not being able to compete with like 2 decent teams to good teams, what are we doing? Like, he can't beat Vanderbilt at home at night with like the new staff and everything. Like, you can't do that. You can't even stop them once. Yeah. You can't stop them once in the second half. And this is the guy you want to be your football coach. Like, we're 4 years into this thing. Like, it's over, right? Like, I think most people are in agreement. Like, the Brent Pry experiment has run its course. It's just a question of when does the time come? So does it happen after UVA? Does it happen, you know, during the season? Hard to say. Like, if he goes out next week and blows it, then it would probably happen after ODU. But
I think if the AD is not gone by mid-October, if it's still going bad, he's not gone by mid-October, I don't think we're going to hear that news. But, like, I don't know. And it's not really – like, I've been very staff-friendly. It's kind of like the running joke. Like, it's all the, like,
Coach Dan.
Those are the pot shots I take on Twitter all the damn time. But, like, you know, or people come up to me in Lane Stadium when I'm in my seat and like yell at me like it's my fault. But, like, it's year 4. It hasn't gotten better ever. Each year seems to be the same. Year 1, like, yeah, it was a tough hand to be dealt, but like now, like it should be. I know you have two, like a whole new staff, but like at the same time, you could have, like, it's still, you still gotta hold
it's year 4. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you gotta hold the bag. Yeah,
it's not year one, like Witt said years ago with Puente. Yeah. Like, it's year 4, and the results are worse than ever so far. So,
patience is gone for everybody, benefit of the doubt is gone, the goodwill is gone. Like, we love you as a person, and if this fails, you were pretty good bridge to getting the infrastructure headed back in the right direction, repairing the relationships in the footprint. Like, but you, the Sunday through Friday is great if you're punching it in on Saturday, but Saturday is what matters in the sport. And if we're not getting it done on Saturday, and like game day is blatantly calling us like an entrance school, like, right, brother. Yo,
no, they said that shit.
What are we doing?
We're an entrance school that night, you know, like that, like it that was, yeah. And it's the game day, right? He has built the roster up to a point that it's a good roster. Like, it's a competitive
17 fours, right?
Right. 17 four stars up from 7 2 years ago. Yeah. So he's added 10 four stars to the roster. I know a lot of them are transfers and whatnot, but we've had a lot of transfers that have contributed to this team.
Like, that's the game now.
That's the game. So he's gone out, he's leveled up the roster, and we're getting a worse product, which just shows you, like, The coaching is so bad, and it's not. It's not Monty. It's not Sefkis. It's not Bone. It's not Marv. It's not Crook. It's not Matt Moore. It is him. It is Coach Pry. Everything comes down from the top. And when they turn the camera to him on the sidelines, it is the most scared puppy look you've ever seen in your life. And you punt on fourth and one when the game is slipping away. And you say it's because it puts your defense in a bad spot. You have no confidence in your defense? Well, it doesn't matter because you punted it and then they ran right down your ass anyway. So he just has no feel for the game. None. He never has. It's not coming. Having Monty in the booth or whatever, like, that's not going to help him. He's good for helping build your roster. That's what he helped James Franklin with. He can't coach.
And he was a really good defensive coordinator there. But
yeah, but every guy that goes to Penn State's a good defensive coordinator. Is that even like a feather in his cap anymore? They've had a new one every year, and they're good.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, like, maybe some people aren't generals. They're just great at what they were doing. You know what I'm saying?
He's not a head coach.
He's great at being mayor. Like, he's great at, you know, the PR stuff. The recruits like him. Like, but, man, like, wins matter the most, especially now. 12-team playoff. Like, Virginia Tech should be a semi-perennial, like, appear in that game, in this playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like, plus, like, not to be, like, complete, it's not even selfish, but, like, the fan base deserves so much better. Like, we show up, we travel, Atlanta.
Did you see the Duke crowd yesterday?
Nashville. It's Palo Alto. Like, we go places. We spend money. We tailgate. Like, we show up. We get loud. We're active. We got 8 million Virginia Tech podcasts all putting in work. You know, damn, dude. Like, we deserve to have national relevance again. Like, we deserve to have that.
It's such a failure. Like, it. Like, if Virginia Tech was, like, a Fortune 500 or something, like, they'd be Kodak, right? Just like completely left behind. Like, it's just such a poorly run operation. Such a poorly run operation. It's insane how many levels we've dropped down. Like, before Frank got here, we weren't in the Big East yet. We're, you know, we play ECU. We play, you know, a bunch of these kind of like lower teams and we lose to them all the time. And then Frank comes in, he gets it rolling after 5 years and we join the Big East and then we start to level up. We start to win and we don't lose to those bad teams anymore. We did occasionally lose to Temple or something like that. Yeah. But for the most part, we weren't losing. Now we're right back down there. I mean, we are at pre-Frank Beamer Virginia Tech, like 80s Virginia Tech. That's where we are. I mean, if you go over the past 8 coaches at Virginia Tech, 3 have losing records. Of course, one of them is Pry. Most of them have very good winning records, including obviously Frank, but we are back. I mean, Frank changed our history, but like that's a moment in time and now we're back. Like, and that's really freaking sad. Think about the worst power programs out there. Like, what are they right now? Stanford, Purdue, Northwestern,
UVA,
OK State maybe is down there now.
Yeah, they're slipping.
And it's us.
But Gundy,
in that conversation.
Yeah.
We are absolutely in. When you lose to Purdue and Rutgers and Vanderbilt
Marshall.
Again and again and again and again and again, and G5s,
yeah,
you're one of the worst P5 programs in the country. There's no way around it. P4.
So, like, Tim Sands is not going to listen to Tales from the Terradome, and I wouldn't expect him to. But, like, I'm saying, like, if this doesn't turn around in the next 2 to 3 weeks, and you make, well, they're going to beat, for all, I'm just saying, like, they're going to beat ODU and Wofford. Like, it just feels like what they're going to do. 2-2. And then if you go into NC State and look lost, if you go into Wake and look lost, like, and you make this regime change and you get rid of Witt, and then you end up getting rid of Brent Pry, you have to hire somebody so far out of the Virginia Tech Frank Beamer circle like somebody that's a little familiar with what it was, but like has no ties to it whatsoever and has a completely new vision, updated vision of how this thing is supposed to go, that has experienced big boy football and winning. Like, that's what you need to do. We don't need anything familiar. Like, I'm completely fine with something completely fresh. And I know they attempted to do that with Fuente, but they still did the, you know, it just, that didn't work. That was a miss. But with misses on football coaches, Tommy Tuberville at Cincinnati, like, you gotta just, AD has to be somebody completely, like, give me a Big Ten minded or SEC ambitiously minded person.
And you need an AD that has given a directive about football. Like you need to make this good. Football teams are your advertising arm for your university. Like, that's what they more or less are. A lot of teams lose money on their football program. And when we had Michael Vick, the university exploded in applications, in size, and they leveled up to where we are now. And there is no advertising happening. It's only going the wrong way for Virginia Tech. So there should be a focus on it. I don't know why the Board of Visitors and Witt and whoever else like don't have more urgency that like this is going to be gone forever if you don't fix it immediately.
Right.
But they haven't. And I know Witt just did his big begging for money thing and all this crap. But you just don't need money to not lose like last night. You think Bob Chesney loses that game like that last night? Do you think, like, I know he didn't have the best game at Louisville, but, like, JMU was very competitive. You know, like, there's a lot of coaches out there that don't make big money, that don't coach at big schools, that could come in here and not get our asses embarrassed like that.
Yeah, like John Summerall, shout out Ed Williams.
Yeah, I mean, everyone loves Summerall. He's a big John Summerall, yeah. Like, he's the Tulane coach. He's awesome.
Yeah, right. But, yeah, I agree. It's got to be somebody, like, it's just, we can't have this anymore.
It was a bad hire. And there's like, necessarily know that he's not going to be able to coach on game day because he had never been a head coach before. But maybe that's why you don't hire a guy that's never been a head coach before.
Right. Somebody that we know said that it was maybe an overcorrection from Fuente. And yeah, like you said, awareness matters, brand matters, because there's been so many people I've talked to that have like been, I went to this very obscure university. And I'm like, oh, I know where that is. I've heard of that. How? Either college football or March Madness. Like, just because they pop up on the TV, like, I'm aware of places I would never, ever in my life be aware of.
Right.
And that's what Vic and Beamer were for Virginia Tech. And we haven't had a marquee player in forever. And we haven't had a marquee coach since Frank. So some things, man, it's just like,
I mean, Brett Pry was always anonymous, right? Like, even when we hired him, no one knew who he was.
Out of left field.
And like, he's just one of those like super obscure college football coaches. And that can work, like Lance Leipold or something like that. Like, that can work if they win and if they build up, but like, sometimes you need a little name recognition. You need a guy that like won some damn game somewhere and bring him in, especially at a university like Virginia Tech. Like, at least Fuente had won at Memphis and had an NFL quarterback and all this stuff. It's easy to do the hindsight that the hire was wrong, but like, the hire's been really wrong. It's been really freaking wrong. And so was the last one. And some of that's because of the funding that Witt gave him. So it all comes back to Witt.
Yeah.
He fucked it up. He fucked it all up.
Like, I laugh, or like, I joke, not laugh, but like, I joke. Like, if we do a new coaching search, like, new AD, you better call Saban. If he don't answer, call Miss Terry. Make him say no. Like, not like, I wouldn't expect them to do that, but like,
yeah, man.
I'd make a 3-minute phone call and be like, how much? You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody.
What's a more sure thing than Saban? For like, if we hired Saban, would you like guarantee an improved, better team within 2 years? Like, guarantee it.
Yeah, he's gonna retire in like 3 years, but Virginia Tech will be a media frenzy, and he will have brought in a great staff and recruited well, and he'll ride off into the sunset, and we'll be in a better position to get whoever the next guy is, hopefully. But, like, if the new AD came in and was able to pull a Nick Saban, then I would completely trust him to make that second hire. I'm not saying like Nick Saban.
Yeah, no, he's not. He's not. I mean, we're just.
But it's just spitballing right now. Yeah,
yeah. It's just, I'm just trying to think of like the few men in college football who, you know, if they get their hands on a program, it would instantly be better off. And there are very few. Like, you can throw out a John Gruden or a Jimbo Fisher. There is no guarantee wherever their next gig is that they make it good. No guarantee. But with like Urban Meyer or Nick Saban, or even like a Chris Peterson, if he came out of the booth, like those teams would be good.
Well, Chris Peterson wouldn't be bad because he turned Boise into a giant beater. And Jimbo, we haven't seen him. We've seen him completely underperform with a whole lot of money, and that's not what the situation is at Virginia Tech.
Nope.
So I'm kind of good on that. And John Gruden, like, funny internet personality, but we
have no idea if that would work. You'd get PR, nah. You'd get the clicks.
Yeah, like
you get Chapel and then Bill. Look what it UNC that did for UNC. Like, yeah. look what it did. I mean, they had a great game on week one, right? And talking about coaching candidates is stupid anyway, because it's fun, don't get me wrong, but like we're so far, like there's so many steps that need to take place before that can happen.
Was it you that said AD hire takes forever? Was that you?
I think. I mean, it's just not an easy, quick process.
No, it's not. And then it's like, my preferred situation is something clicks this week and they go on a tear. And then, but nothing tells me that's happening. So if the reality is Brent Pry is done at Virginia Tech, I love all those dudes like as people, but like I gotta come on here and tell the truth. I can't just blatantly, I can't lie to myself and I can't lie to everybody else because it just ruins credibility of me. And I'm not a person that likes to, you know, people will like joke with me or they might actually think I have just a positive spin guy, but I just think I have a good amount of patience sometimes and I don't jump off the porch always. So people think that I'm not overly negative. Like, I'm not a troll account on Twitter bringing up DUIs and like all this other stuff. And it's just, that's not me. So I think it gets misconstrued sometimes, but I'm very much all about the brand of Virginia Tech winning, making my Saturdays. Like, there's nothing better. Like, you know how legendary Nashville and Atlanta would have been if like we would have tied that bow with a W. Legendary experiences that we all would deserve.
It really, like, Atlanta was a lot of fun, but we didn't win.
I had a great time. No,
Atlanta was a ton of fun. I mean, the events were really fun. Got to meet so many people and hang out. But it would just be better if you win. I said it last year when we came back from Nashville. Like, it would have been better if we had won. And one of these days,
he's singing karaoke by himself. We want all the Hokies in there singing karaoke with Pete B after a win.
Yeah, man. You know, it's funny. You said the thing about Pry, like you like him as a person or whatever. And like, I've never met Coach Pry. I've never talked to Coach Pry. Seems like a good enough guy, but like objectively the national perception of him, like I listen to a ton of national podcasts week to week to help prep for my show. And I just love college football. You know that. And so I listen to a ton of stuff and like the opinion even before the Vanderbilt game was so incredibly low. Like, I don't think our fans even realize how much of a joke he is and we are to the like nation of people that follow college football. Like, we are a joke. And he is just like so, like the cover three every week, it's like, the Hokies look unprepared again. What else is new? Like, they're just a really bad, poorly coached team. They said it all year last year. And they've said it just even against South Carolina in the 1 or 2 weeks we're into the season. We just get eviscerated on every show. And it's objectively, he is terrible. I mean, they're trying to run Napier out of town, which I agree is valid. He's 20-20 at Florida, 20-20.
And they have a very, very hard schedule this year. So losing to USF is like the nail in the coffin.
Right. And he was hired the same year as Pry. There's a lot of people that wanted Billy Napier at Virginia Tech. He's 20-20. And they are like, they're done. Like, they are completely done. Brent Pry's 16-23.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's measures beyond worse what's going on at Florida. And I'm not saying we're Florida, but it like we should have some modicum of standards. And 16 yes. to 23 is abysmal. It is so poor through like what 3 point whatever years it is. I just it's nothing personal on him. It's like objectively he's a terrible coach. Like he's a terrible head coach.
I'm glad you brought it up because Billy Napier was our first choice, and then we ended up with Brent Pry, and both of them have had disasters where they were, so it sounds like we were going to be screwed either way.
Yeah, I mean, you never know if Napier fits in better here, but it seems in hindsight neither of them might have been ready to be a big-time head coach. But
if they're throwing that much money behind the – like, you're getting DJ Lagway.
Right.
All, and you're still shit in the bed, like, what would he have done here? It couldn't have been better. Not in this era of college football. Like Jimbo fumbled all that money, so I don't want him here.
It's hard. It's such a difficult thing to figure out for some ADs. Other ADs nail it every time. How many good coaches has JMU run through? Every single guy that comes in there is a winner.
Yeah, Bourne was a hell of an AD. But yeah, Mickey started it, and then there was like one other guy, and then Mike Houston elevated it and then handed it off to Cignetti, and he carried it. And now I don't know what this dude from Holy Cross is going to do. If he won 9 games last year, right? So if he does it again, he's going to get poached. So
I mean, he's probably going to win the Sun Belt this year. The Sun Belt's not very good. And
yeah, Marshall's trash.
Yeah, Marshall lost to Central Missouri State.
Yeah, they got beat late in the fourth quarter. You know who their strength and conditioning coach is? Deej Galt.
Yeah, well, their coach is Tony Gibson, who people liked him as a defensive coordinator in NC State. Well, and they might need him, and maybe that's a reflection that but Tony Gibson was the DC at West Virginia when we played him in 2017. Then he goes and works for Dave Doran. He's not that good of a coach, in my personal opinion, and it's starting off ugly for Marshall. I know their team got gutted. Like, I know.
Yeah. Well, they probably should have kept Charles Huff, but there was a bunch of internal, it never would have worked because they just hated each other so much, but.
The Sun Belt's very winnable was the point of that. And like they had
JMU's gonna win.
They had a chance in that Louisville game, and Chesney was messing around with those two quarterbacks. I will knock him for that. But the one dude is good. Like the guy who can pass, he's Brantley? A good quarterback.
I was talking to Sam Jesse at the tailgate yesterday, and he said he thinks like he brought Sluka from Holy Cross and was like, yeah, man, you can start. And then it ended up being bad, but he was kind of stuck with it. So he's doing this 2 QB thing for.
Yeah, you can tell that's exactly what's happening. Like he's screwing that up, and I'm sure they're going to sit Sluka down going forward because they blew a golden opportunity in that game to beat Louisville.
They did. Louisville did not look. Miller Moss looked very lost in the beginning, and
look good, man.
Not at all. Which means stars aren't always everything, but if you can get the 4 and 5 star guys more often than not, they're going to hit more than they miss. So. I'm not ever going to turn one down.
No. But you know what? They'll probably be good enough to beat us when they come to Blacksburg.
Yeah, you know, probably. I don't know, man. It's just some sort of change has to happen, whether it's a change in the win-loss record or a change in everything at Merriman.
If it was up to me tomorrow or today, like JC would be the interim head coach.
You wouldn't go for Montgomery?
No. Not after that offensive performance.
Yeah.
Just get crushed all afternoon. Plus, he's only been here for a few months. JC was our interim head coach a couple years back, beat UVA, knows the university inside and out, is the university. Like, he should be the interim head coach. And typically, that's our best unit, is the D-line unit. So, he should be head coach.
Yeah, it really baffled me, like, as much pressure as they were sending, like, there's no Cam Seldon drag routes or anything that would have gashed yards, like nothing. Like it just like I really like it really felt like a nightmare from last year. It felt like I was back in last year. Like these people didn't learn shit is what I was. That was how I was feeling. And I've never seen Lane Stadium leave 8 minutes in the game. As soon as they went up 10, everyone was like, boo, pack your shit. Da, da, and everybody bounced. And I was like, I have never, like, that's when I felt like they lost the fan base last night. Like, I haven't seen anybody defend them today. I haven't seen anybody defend any of it today. I am not defending any of it today. You are not. Like, no, none of the podcast people, like, I think even Pat Finn was on Twitter. Like, he was like, what the hell? You know what I'm saying? So, like, dude, getting Pat Finn out of character.
Yeah, what are we doing? He's a straight man. He's a straight man, yeah. Right? Like, he's not typically like that. Though he does get, like, fed up. Like, he was pretty fed up at the end of last year.
Yeah. I saw him at NC State 2022. I ran into him right at the end of the game. And he was like, dude, what are we doing? And I was like, oh. Like,
yeah, that wasn't.
But it was different. It was different. We had a different situation. Now it's like there's no excuse to be doing this shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's really where I am. Pete, man, you got any closing thoughts on this whole thing? I'm not previewing ODU. Either beat them or get the fuck. Like, leave me alone. You know, like, beat them or, like, pack it up.
My closing thoughts are just with the people that have tickets to the games going forward, because I have tickets. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have season tickets. A lot of people made plans. I made plans to be down there on October 4th for the weight game. And I'm going to be there because I'm going with a bunch of old friends and stuff. But man, oh man, is that a tough pill to swallow this morning? Like, I got to drive my ass 7 hours down there in a month to watch something like that. Like, so go for the fellowship, go for the drinks, go to have fun, see your old, you know, places that you love, but don't do it for pride and a staff. I mean, do it because you're going to have fun doing it and don't expect to win. Like, it just expect to try to enjoy yourself, because this team, I mean, it's like a cheating girlfriend, man. Like, we keep going back to her and she just keeps on doing it. It's rough. So maybe you just live in the same house and you agree to see other people.
Leaving Roanoke today, I saw an old man leaning over the bridge. And I said, brother, I understand. I get it. No, it's not a suicide joke. I legitimately understood. Like, I don't know what you're doing, but I would be doing, like,
just
don't
contemplating,
let me do it.
Just thinking
don't
about
it. Don't let me do
life.
It. Yeah, like, dude, if we don't beat Wake, I'm pissed because they scored 10 points against Kennesaw State. Like,
oh, they're bad. They're real bad.
Yeah.
But will they get better to a point that they can beat a team that doesn't show up for a half? Maybe.
Yeah.
If we play like that in that second half, we'll lose to every team. Like, you keep, like, you, there was no positives whatsoever from that second half.
No, none. Not even a little bit.
It's crazy.
The only positive was we didn't even beat traffic. So, because everybody left at the same time. So, Pete, man, thank you for coming on here and venting with me. And
no, it feels good. You know, I mean, I'll feel better for the week now that I got a little bit out of the system before I record College Football Monday tomorrow with Sam.
Yeah, College Football Monday tomorrow, and then
We'll do another
two deep on Tuesday.
Yeah, it'll come out Wednesday. Yeah, so we'll normal dude. Schedule. I think the Boundary Corner guys were talking about maybe a little bit of a different schedule this week,
like not doing it at all. Or...
Well, if you looked at, they put out a tweet today because we love Brian and Curtis and Tally and Sheldon. Something like it's going to be a funeral or something. Like, you gotta look at the tweet. Like, they're changing up their typical, like, shows.
I think Brian tweeted out, I'm out. And I was like, dude, if Sigla is jumping off the porch, like, I'm way more emotional than people think. I just, like, rein it in before I get back on the internet. Because I'm usually at the games, and by the time I leave and get wherever, I'm like, I'm not looking at my phone, I'm going to bed. And then I wake up, and it's a little better. But I'm very reactionary, and for Brian, who never really, you know, he'll break
he's
the other,
keel.
But when he legitimately, like, confidently says, I'm out, bro,
you lost a lot of people last night and this morning.
Tons.
There's a lot of people that will not watch a Virginia Tech game after that this year. Like, they will not watch the rest of the season. You're not getting a single casual back after that. I got so many texts yesterday, dude, from all kinds of different people, and, you know, kind of making fun of me for liking the team as much as I do, kind of, you know, making fun of the team, all this stuff. And it's not fun, man. That is not fun. Like, we do this because we like it. Like, we like to podcast. We like to have a voice in the community. We like to build a community. But that is not this shit is not fun on days like this. I will tell you that.
Nope. Not at all, man. Well, hey, I hope next week. I mean, I won't take a lot of joy in beating ODU, but
I would just take joy if you got a W, man. Like, yeah. I'm scared. I'm legitimately scared.
Yeah, man. But hey, dude, I appreciate
no problem,
you
dude.
Coming on here with me and bouncing these things around and all that. And as always, man, go Hokies.
Go Hokies.